public comments unless John's gonna be public also this morning. But we'll look at consent agreement on tab one.
Make a motion to approve the minutes, printed.
Second.
We have a motion to approve and second. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign? Carried in tab two.
Tab two is the Somerville Appraisal District budget. We got, Wes brought that over last month. It's about the same as it's been the last two or three years. I think it's down, actually down a little bit. Looks like they've started putting less legal fees in it since we're out of the lawsuit with Luminant. Our share of, our prorated share is 7.07% or $53,000 of their total budget. Their total budget is $750,707.
Well, I don't see a lot of choices we have in that really.
No, there's really not. I mean, I think we have two of our board members are still on their budget, so they're pretty familiar with.
Y'all will have enough to do it and won't pick up the possibility.
I would make a motion to join the Somerville County Appraisal District by paying our share of the fee for this being a member.
Got a motion?
Second.
Got a second? Now, any comment? If not, all in favor of the Somerville County Appraisal budget, our share, vote with aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign? It carries. And we go to our own budget now.
This is actually a budget amendment to this year's budget that we're in. You know, last year when we established our budget, we didn't put any extension money at all in the very first budget because, you know, we were in the fight with Luminant and we didn't know what we were gonna get. Once we settled that fight, I think it was in November, is that when we did that first? We did an amendment. We put $495,000 in there just to get us going on the extensions, and we've blown through that. Our contractors have done pretty good, and we've gotten a lot done. Actually got a lot of customers put on with this money, but we're out of it now. We're to the point where without a budget revision, we can either stop doing extensions or we can put some more money in our budget for improvements. I mean, for those extensions, and we can keep going through the end of the fiscal year, which is end of September.
We're through the Oaks, and we're through with the Oaks, and
yes, sir. We finished with the Oaks, and we've done. Over here, just west of town, as you cross the river, we ran a water line in front of Staples, and there's half a dozen businesses there. There's a big daycare in there. We crossed the highway. We ran a water line to them, and then that county road that goes up to the first crossing. That's 1001. We ran all the way to the end of 1001, right before the river, to Russell Lancaster's old place there. Picked up, it's been a good extension for us. Picked up a lot of customers on that road. So that's where we're at now. Getting ready to go to this Fossil Chase subdivision, Fossil Trails subdivision west of town out here. If we get approval, once we get approval to put a little more money in the budget. What that does too is looks like right now we're going to finish the year up around $2 million in reserve in our operating budget, maybe a little bit more to $2,500,000. If we do this revision I'm requesting of $250,000, that allows us to finish the year up with about $1.8 million in reserve that we would carry over to next year. That's in addition to our capital maintenance budget.
$250,000 will be enough. That's all that you could use.
That'll be enough to get us through the end of this fiscal year until we.
4 months left.
Yeah, that'll get us through the next 4 months.
Make a motion, authorize the general manager to revise the 2016-17 budget to increase the water supply improvement line item by $250,000.
Second. Any comments, questions?
Well, just out of curiosity, how many new meters did you get in the Oaks area when we were tagging on?
I would say 30, we're at 30 new ones.
Yeah, because it's showing 25 new customers on the poop sheet.
Oaks ended up being a good subdivision for us. That's probably the best extension we've done yet. It was expensive and it took a while, but boy, a lot of people signed up in there.
And there'll probably be a lot more in the future.
I think so. I mean, there'll be a few more. They just keep trickling in.
Did we pick up half of the people after?
I don't know that we've got half yet, but we may be. I'm not sure how many houses there are, to be honest with you.
I heard somebody say there was about 60 homes.
That may be close to half.
We'll get them all.
So I would guess there's 60 out there. I don't have any idea.
Yeah, I counted it one day. It's surprising how many homes there are. There's more than you think. If you look at an aerial and start and go to counting them, there probably is 60 in there.
We'll get them.
This is not on the subject matter that we're going to vote on, but it's the, have we had any new plats come in that we are going to be asked to serve water to them?
No, I got a call for a new, on a new subdivision, another phase of Cheyenne Hills. Got a call a couple of weeks ago. They're just doing some planning on it, but it looks like they may do a new phase or two at Cheyenne Hills, but I hadn't seen anything else. While we're talking about extension, I'll tell you what we're planning on doing with our next extension. You know, as you go out to out 67 West, on the right hand side, there's Fossil Trails subdivision. It's across from that entrance that goes to Fossil Rim. It was in place prior to us starting to sell water and run water lines. So as a result, they're just county roads in there as far as we look at it. The developer that initially developed that, he set up some community wells. He actually drilled the holes, but he didn't complete the wells. He drilled holes and just left them sitting there until things sold. That thing's changed hands a couple of times. And we've negotiated a deal with the current owner that if they'll let us get in there and run our water lines in that subdivision, he's going to abandon those wells. And we'll get, there's 28 customers in, there's 28 lots in there. We'll get all 28 of those lots. Yeah. And they'll abandon those well agreements in those wells. So that's where we're going to head next. We want to get in there.
That's just off the 208.
Yes, sir. That's correct.
You going to do that this year?
Yeah, that's what we're going to do here with this $250,000. That's the first place we're going to go. We've got.
So you're going to go ahead and run in the subdivision?
We're going to run in the subdivision, so when those lots start selling, and those lots will sell. I think as soon as we run water in there, they'll sell. It'll be just like Falcon Chase. It'll build out as soon as we get our water in there. But we'll have all 28 of them. There's one that's already sold, and he's on a well, so we won't have that one. But we may get him anyway.
Yeah,
but
we
for sure we'll have probably 26 of those because they're not going to have any other choice but our water. So it'll.
Yeah, it's hard to sell those lots without water and electricity.
It is. You know, it's a little bit unusual because it's a people still kind of see it as a new subdivision, but it's probably 10 or 12 years old. But you know, new subdivisions, if anybody asks you why we're doing that subdivision, it was because it was already in place prior to us building our plant and building our water system. New developers that come into town, they have to run their own plumbing in the subdivision first.
Where do we have Fossil River? Ridgeview?
Ridgeview
is
one. Right now, it's looking like we're going to do it right after that. We got one extension.
Or in the fall?
Probably over the winter, maybe early spring. We're going to do this one. We got one little extension down by the Brazos River to do. But it's coming up real quick. Another one that we've got on our radar screen is Paluxy Estates over... Across the river. I mean, it's
west of 140.
Yeah, if you drive through there, you would think that it's part of the city limits, but it's not.
Yeah.
And it's a real mess over there. We
oh.
It's real tight, there's a lot of concrete driveways, it's gonna be hard to do the.
The little, right there to the left, kind of behind Gabe's, back in there?
No, it's to the west of Gabe's. It's, you know where Robert Summers lives?
Yes.
That's it.
And he at the, that's the end?
Yeah, he's at the very far corner.
And Robert's at the last one in there?
Yes, sir. We started to do that next. And the reason we started to do it was because the city, we got word that the county was gonna repave all those streets in there, and we wanted to try to get in front of the county before they repaved. So we started scrambling, trying to get over there and get water in. And anyway, we got to meeting with the county. We decided we'd all just hold off till next summer. Give us a little bit more planning time and let the homeowners know and get a bunch of them in here paid up before we get over there. But the plan for Paluxy Estates is for us to go in there in the spring, right after Ridgeview. As soon as we do Ridgeview, I think we're gonna go over there. The county's gonna let us run water lines in the edge of the street. We don't have to be up in the bar ditch where all the utilities are at, and we don't have to deal with driveways. They're gonna let us cut the streets because they're gonna save us a lot of money, a lot of time and effort. And it'll be just a little bit, it won't be cleaner, but there'll be no utilities in our way. And then they'll come back and pave right behind us.
Well, that's good planning when you can get together with other entities.
Yeah.
You're doing a great job. Yeah. Okay, we got a motion. Second. Item 3. I guess that, no, it's not where we're over.
Did we already vote?
Yeah, we are.
No, we haven't voted.
We haven't voted. Yeah. We got a motion second on the floor. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Same time. It carries. All right, now.
This is a draft of our budget for next year. Talking to some of the board members for the meeting, and what our schedule for this is for you guys to have this in your hands a couple of months. We're gonna tweak it a little bit here in the next couple of months. I think John's already made one change to his part of it, but anyway, it'll come back to you guys in August. When we set our tax rate, we'll approve this budget, and it'll be pretty much the same. We'll just go over the changes that we've made between now and then. We'll ask y'all to approve this budget on August 14th, and then we'll set our tax rate on August 14th. If you would skip to that second page, I'm gonna talk just a little bit about our tax rate, the tax rate that I'm proposing in this budget. Because in order to do this budget, we have to propose a tax rate. The first thing you see is an email from Wes Rollin to me. He's telling me what the increase in the homestead value is. The average homestead in Somerville County increased $5,400 this year. That's a 3.3% increase in the taxes that people are paying on their houses already. The way we set our, when we set our rollback rate, we have to take that into consideration. All the other entities can increase 8% without consideration to what the homestead value has done. Ours makes us take the home value increase off of that. So with that said, since homes have already increased, I'm calling it 3.3%, our rollback rate is 4.7%, the difference between 8 and the 3.3. So that's all we can increase this year without triggering a rollback election, 4.7%. Last year when we set our budget, we knew values were gonna be low. Plant value was going to be low this year. It's going to be low next year. So we had talked about increasing as much as we could because we're still a little bit low on the amount of extensions we're able to put in. So we had discussed increasing as much as we could. And so I built this budget around increasing 4.7% on our tax rate.
So this is a certified value divided by appraisal value.
Yeah, that's not certified yet, but it's not going to change. It's not going to change much. Wes is going to have it certified here in the next couple of weeks, I think, and it won't. He's already told me it's not going to change much. Now I think this number, this increase in the And the homestead value, it is a firm number, it's not gonna change. So I'm just telling this.
You well within the numbers to.
If you look at the next page, you can see what the tax rate we set last year in 2016 was .124. If we go up our 4.7%, that gets us to .129. So that's the tax rate I'm proposing. It's y'all's decision where we set that. So whenever, I mean, if you would prefer me to go back and.
And that's confusing because we showed in 2017, 12.9. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm wondering, yeah.
This, we are setting 17. Well, wait a minute.
No, you know, we are. You're right.
Yeah, we are.
Right. I'm confused.
We are setting 17. That's right. I've got 18 on there just to show what's going to happen next.
If we carry it forward to then, I'm with you.
If we carry it forward next year.
Yeah, so we're going up half a penny.
We're going up, I'm proposing going up half a penny.
From 2016 to what we're setting 2017.
Yeah.
I'm with you now.
And if you look to the far right, you'll see the revenue will generate. You know, we've.
Right, we're up 200,000 by doing that.
That's correct.
Between the homesteads going up and us going up that half a penny.
Yeah.
And you're assuming.
We end up with 200,000 more.
And you're assuming in 2018 there will be no growth in values there, but that's an assumption. So. What we're doing is look at 2017.
Actually, I'm assuming there's a little bit of growth in values, but there's a decrease in plant value for next year. That agreement.
Is there a decrease?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I was not aware of that.
Decrease in what?
The plant value. That deal we negotiated last year, it had the lowest year as next year.
Okay.
Now there's, Wes has said there's a little bit of wiggle room, so he may be able to negotiate that decrease out of it, but it was projected to be the worst year. The last year was the worst year of that deal.
Well, I thought it was the same both years.
I think there was a little bit of difference. I'm pretty sure there was.
Now that agreement we had with the plant goes through 18?
Goes through 18. Actually, it was only firm through 17. I think 18 was more of a handshake agreement. It was, the law would only allow us to set 2 years, last year and this year. The third year was more of a gentleman's agreement. We'll leave it at this, the third year. So I think there may be a little bit of wiggle room. If that value gets way above that, they may allow us, or they may agree to a little bit higher value. We'll see. But I'm with that number there, I think I'm planning for the worst.
If they're making money, they probably will.
Probably will.
Kevin, I have a question on the first page. On the current budget, does that include that 25,000 to 250,000, excuse me, that we just approved in there, like for distribution?
Yes, it doesn't.
Because that would be plus the two.
Are you talking about the first page of the budget, or that?
Yeah, the one that I guess I'm a little confused as to because we had we just added today, you know.
Right. Yeah.
That extension, is that included in these figures?
No, it's not.
Okay.
But I will show you what it does do whenever we actually. That's just my right up there. When we actually get into this budget.
Yeah.
Over here.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering if it did include.
It's not included in that. That 250 went into last year.
That's last year's, but in the next year's budget.
But that 1.8 million at the bottom that we're beginning with, it does reflect that $250,000
taken out of it.
Okay. Yeah, in this budget, you have $600,000 for extensions next year.
That's right.
Is that right under distribution? You have 600.
That's right. If we get in, skip in there to the old fourth or fifth page, first page of the actual budget, you can see, if you'll go to this page right here, that's really the summary of the budget. Down in the middle of the page where it says distribution, that's John's entire budget, $1,065,000. That's everything for distribution of that. We have $612,000 for extensions.
I got you.
And that's a low amount. We'll spend through that in probably 9 or 10 months. But that's why we're trying to get, our income back up to where it was, to where we're doing closer to $1 million a year in extensions. That's where we like to be. We like to be around $1 million, but because of that plant value and everything else that's going on, it's driven our extension budget down to $600,000.
That's almost half.
It's almost half where we were, but that's.
And how are we going to raise it back?
The only way we'll raise it back, well, there's two. There's You could raise water rates. I mean, we don't really want to do that. We've made a decision. We're trying to keep water rates low and operate, do extensions off of taxes. So we've adjusted our budget up as high as we can without triggering a rollback. You know, without cutting somewhere else, there's nothing else we can do.
All right. I think, you know, earlier when we added the 250.
Yes, sir.
This time we still going to close out with $1.8 million.
Yes, sir.
Surplus.
Yeah.
Is there some reason to carry that high a surplus?
No. There's not. It's just I've kept
lowered it. If we just carried $1 million surplus, the next year we could bring back to that.
You know, we've got some problems because I mean we're really starting over with the power plant next year, and we could end up in litigation again.
Uh-oh.
I mean we just don't know where we're headed. We have no idea. We don't really know who's running and until we start that process. So I would think $1.8 million to $1.5 million might be a good reserve, just recognizing that 70% of our taxable value in any given year could be in litigation.
I guess what I was going to say next was that with that we could back up next year. Pick that up if it was.
We could, and if we end up, you're going to deal with your with the contractor, and you're going to tell him you got $600,000 to spend this year,
yeah.
and y'all are going to make a choice whether you spread that over 12 or he does it the first 6 months, whatever that is, and we can come back and amend it if things are going well and it's clear what's going to happen. Just like we did the 250 now, that may be the prudent thing to do.
We and that's kind of what I was thinking. We would start with that 612. We would see how it went. We'd get the projects done that we know we want done, and then it'll be about this time next year we'll address whether
if we need to and we can.
We'll have $1.8 million in our reserve. We can drop that $1.8 million to $1.5 million and put $300,000 into the extensions.
The truth of the matter is the homestead's going up $5,000 a year. It doesn't really help us. I mean, it helps us, but it's nothing like the issue of the power plant.
Right.
When it's 80%, 75% of our revenue. So we need to figure out, you know, the best thing that can happen is that we've raised our tax rate and then we get a stable power plant value or even each inch up a little bit, then we're home free. We're going to have to stick in that 600 range until one of those two things happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in full agreement.
Now that's certainly possible. There's nothing that tells us how much reserve we should have. You know, we've tried to keep around $2 million here the past few years, but it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me to keep that money in reserve if we've got people out there that are really needing water.
The truth of the matter is we take $3.3 million a year to run, including debt service. And if we have 1 year interruption in the power plant's value, $1.8 million doesn't cover it. We take it from the maintenance trust to cover 1 year's operation. Now it'd be close though, because we would stop extensions.
Yeah.
Like we did that beginning of last year. Mm-hmm. But it's very quickly we burn through $1.8 million and take it out of the other. If we just have another year of them not paying us, much less 2 or 3 years, because of litigation. If all things were equal, We probably could be with $1 million reserve, but man, this power plant sure throws us a wild card.
It sounds like we ought to stay the course we are now for a couple of years.
Absolutely. Until we just get things stabilized.
Settles out, yeah.
It was really good to have that reserve 2 years ago when we got into litigation. I mean, we were one of two entities in the county that were able to sustain ourselves through that fight without getting any revenue from the
plant. And I wouldn't even say that we ought to change the budget, but I was saying that we would be the money would be there that if we didn't have additional problems that we could mend. But now my question was, how would that affect our contractors? We budgeted.
You know, when we do that annual contract, we project how much, we tell them how much money we've got to spend, yeah. and they base that contract on that. Now, one crew, the way we operate, running year round, and it's nice if we can get a crew in here and they can just run year round. They can just go from one extension to this. It takes, I mean, that uses up almost $1 million a year. That's why we were at that $1 million point, because that's about one contract crew out there running all year long. That's about what it takes. You know, with $600,000, with only $600,000, you got to hold them back. We'll have to hold them back to keep them from, finishing up in eight or nine months and going somewhere else. But
hopefully we'll get back to that.
Yeah, hopefully we will. You know, I've told our staff that, we've known for a while that this year is going to be a little bit lean, next year is going to be a little bit lean as far as budget-wise, and hopefully after that we'll start ticking back up to where we were and where we're generating revenue in the $3 million range from our taxes. That's where we really need to be is, around $3 million total income from taxes and a little over $3 million. You know, we do best.
Well, but, I'd like to say that I'm not opposed to raising water rates a little bit. I noticed somewhere and we are dirt cheap.
The problem is it doesn't raise much money.
Well, yeah, but it might conserve a little water too. And you know, there's a balance between
right.
Right,
that's why I put two charts in there showing you where we compare. We are dirt cheap, is, and we've done that. We did that intentionally because we're trying to bring new customers on. We're trying to build our customer base. Eventually, this water district will have a customer base that can operate off of after we get people on. But that really helps in getting getting people to buy meters.
Yeah, you've got a great value to the citizens too. Having very affordable water.
Well, that's true.
As far as ways of raising water rates, I think that's the last ditch effort, as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely.
So, the consumers are getting an incredible bargain for their water.
Well, and I've seen a tremendous amount of waste too that happens as a result.
Now that I would agree. The first thing that we might think about whenever we start raising water rates, I'm gonna point you toward.
Yes.
Yeah. Look at the second page of those charts. The one that looks like.
the one that looks like this.
Back going backwards.
No, it's right.
Go back before the budget.
Yep. Right there. Yeah. Yep.
Go back to 2 minutes. Oh, yeah.
I saw
some
of
that.
I'm thinking that reading to reduce construction when you've been trying to hold costs to the consumer down.
Yeah.
If you look,
they understand how that better.
That's right, because I wrote too cheap.
The thing I did. There we go, right there.
If you look at that.
Yeah.
Look down at the bottom at the city of Fort Worth and their cost per gallon. They start out at
$2.77
gallon for tier one. That's if you use less than 5,000 gallons. And look how they progress. Tier two, they go to $3.96. Tier three, they go to $4.93. Tier four, they go to $14 a gallon.
Well, I don't think they plant would like that cost.
If you, you know, the plant wouldn't like that cost. If you use over 20,000 gallons, they go to four. I mean, that's a progressive rate. That's kind of ridiculously progressive, but that's how they do in the cities to keep people from, they sell their water, they're the cheapest water supplier around for that first tier, and they encourage everybody to use that less than 5,000 gallons by doing that.
Yes.
They're just the opposite of us. See, we start out about the same with them, and our highest one is $7. You know, we're only half of theirs once we get out there to tier four. So that's a strategy that you can put in place. That helps.
That's the city right there, 760.
City of Glen Rose?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I said City of Glen Rose. Our max rate is 325.
Yeah.
The City of Glen Rose starts out at 510. Tier 2, they're at 580. Tier 3, they're at 660.
Well,
tier
4. They use theirs as income.
Yeah, they do. City of Fort Worth, they don't have that rate set at $14 a thousand because they're trying to generate income. They're just trying to keep people from wasting water. Yeah. You know, and something else, we're a little bit different. We don't waste. Our people mostly water their, most of our customers water their yards with their wells.
Yeah.
So they're not wasting our water all that much. Not that many of them. We have a couple of customers that use a lot of water, but not that many really. But that's something that, you know, rather than just trying to generate in revenue off of those first two tiers, you know, you might look at raising the last couple of tiers just for the really high water users. Yeah.
Do we have any idea our accountability percentage? Or are we accountable for everything? We should be with everything brand new. We should be.
Where were we at last time? Leakage, loss.
Yeah,
what?
Less than 10%.
We turned in less than 10%.
And that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you want me to, I'll go over the first page of this budget, which is just the overview real quick, or I'll go through as much of it as you'd like me to. Like I say, I'm just giving it to you guys so you'll have it to look over. But anyway, we're operating income, I'm through taxes, I'm showing bringing in $1.691 million. Water sales have increased to $450,000. That's what Lee was saying a while ago. If you increased our water rates 50%, you'd just generate another $200,000. I mean, it'd be painful for our customers, but it's not going to bring us in enough money to. It's not going to make a lot of difference for us.
Well, is this the same budget you emailed?
Yes, sir. It is.
Okay.
Nothing's changed there. We got interest on our investments, park revenue, $50,000, tap fees, $30,000. So all other income is $100,000. Our total revenue is $2.2 million. Expenditures, starting out administration, $485,000. That's up just a little bit, mainly because we're having to budget for an election next year, possible election next year. Then we get into distribution. John's budget is $1,065,000. In the past, the extensions were done out of the capital improvement budget, so it looked a little bit different. We don't have that capital improvement budget anymore, so everything construction-wise for John is right there, that $1,065,000. There's a breakdown of it in the next page. The only thing that we're having to purchase this year is a new service truck. Our service truck that the guys operate out of, it's the big 450.
Yes,
it's 450 with a tool bed. I mean, it's the workhorse. It does everything. It pulls a trailer every day with a backhoe on it or some kind of piece of equipment. And it's now 5 years old? 5 years old. It's,
what's the mileage on it?
Around 80,000.
Not real high mileage, but it's hard. It's
80,000 hard miles.
It's hard, but it's hard. Like I say, it's pulling the trailer.
Broke down.
80,000 of those miles have had probably 75,000 have had a trailer behind it.
I That was curiosity. Yeah. I just wondered, it's small.
Are you doing a new chassis or?
Everything.
Everything.
Everything. The beds on those things, you put 80,000 miles on one of them beds and the welds are broken and they wear out the same. But we've got to replace that thing. So that's the only piece of equipment that we're replacing this year is that service truck. Parks and Rec, $90,000. That's about where it's been. Production.
Kevin, yes. One thing on that Parks and Rec. I came out Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday was just a typical weekend, nothing special going on. And ever one of those little picnic deals was full.
I know.
Do you think we should look at putting some more in, or what y'all's feeling on that?
We certainly can. I mean, they're.
When I go by Fossil Rim just to show my point. They couldn't put any more cars in the parking lot on just a regular weekend. It wasn't a holiday weekend. I think that's just saying how the tourist traffic, what is happening here.
Yeah, those things are not that expensive to put in. Yeah. Well, we can look at putting some more in. We got plenty of space.
There may be more economy of scale to put in two or three at a time instead of one at a time.
Yeah, probably is.
Saturday, the pavilion was rented, and there was even a crew sitting over in the bandstand.
Yeah.
The one at the very back was empty, but.
And this is pretty early in the year, still kind of early in the year to be filling up. But yeah, just regular, it's starting to look like the 4th of July out there on weekends. Now we get a lot of customers, lots of scuba divers down here now. But yeah, we can look at doing that. We can maybe put in three or four more.
What those cost? The piece wasn't that much.
They're not that much. I don't remember. We built them real well.
Yeah.
We overpaid for them because we wanted something we didn't have to maintain from now on. But I don't remember what they were. But
and they're pretty maintenance free.
They are maintenance free. When I come back, when we present you the final budget, we'll move some money over there and get us a couple more of those.
Good idea, Larry.
Yeah. Production, we got 600,000 in there. That budget, that's JD's budget down at the plant. In the past, it's been around 500,000. Since we added that nano to take care of our THMs, it's increased our operating costs, both electricity, lots of chemical, lots of maintenance on it. And then also, JD is just more expensive an operator than Hugh was. Hugh let a lot of things go that he didn't perform maintenance like JD does. JD, every time something looks rusty, he replaces it. Every time something plastic breaks, he replaces it with stainless. He does a lot of preventative maintenance. He's more expensive an operator. And, I don't discourage that. I like the way he.
Short term.
Yeah.
Long term, it's gonna be.
Right. Long term, it's gonna make that that place.
Is the age on the nano? Is that going to come into a?
The nano was the one we just put in.
I know. It's only I know. I'm talking about as it gets older. Is there any history that we could look at from anybody else?
I think the nano.
That's expensive.
We finally got that nano figured out. It took us a year and a half, but they finally figured the company that put it in finally got us a chemical mixture that's cleaning it. Like it should. So it looks like it's going to last for quite a while. Yeah. Just like the microfiltration. That microfiltration plant that we initially put in, that thing runs like a clock. And those filters are going to last quite a while. I bet the nano filters, now that we've learned how to clean them, they'll last 10 years. We'll look up in 10 years and we'll have to spend $80,000 or $100,000 on filters. But that'll, I don't think we'll have that much expense.
For replacing it,
we're not going to have to replace it. Okay. It's gonna continue to operate. The filters are the only thing we'll have to replace.
Is there any other somebody that's used one?
Oh, they're around, but we haven't heard a whole lot about them yet. I think, you know, that thing's going to work.
And it's knocking out the THMs.
And it's knocking out the THMs. You know, it's cutting close on the THM. It's a little bit undersized. I mean, we could have used something bigger, but that would have been a whole lot more money to gotten a bigger one. You know, whenever in the summers, we're going to end up cutting it close on the THMs. You know, the winters, you average out 4 tests a year, so the winters are real low and the summers are a little bit higher.
Well, then once we get to full capacity, then we're looking at maybe having to add a million.
We may have to sister do something. I say they're a little bit higher than we would have preferred it to be, but I think we're still gonna be fine. Even at full capacity, there's some things that we can do to help the THM problem. I mean, some of it may be just more flushing. We've been here for the last 3 tests that we've taken. He hasn't done any flushing. We've been able to pass. Actually, we busted our last test. We busted just a little bit, but we didn't flush a drop. If we had a flushed, we would have passed. So it's kind of coming down to the amount of flushing that we do. That thing will solve our problem if we do the right amount of flushing. So I mean, we can make it work. We're gonna make that thing will probably last 10 years for us till we have to do something different.
But we'll have the same problem with our water, no matter how long we're here. It's not just.
I would think so. JD thinks the organics in that lake may get worse over time. I don't know.
I think get better.
I would think it would get better. From what I learned, that it was causing it the organics decompose, and I would think it would get better. I don't know. It's anybody's guess what's going to happen with all the grass that we've got growing. You don't see much here, but we've got a lot of grass growing out there, and it could be when it dies off every year that the decomposition of that grass affects it. I don't really know. We'll just have to see.
Good.
That brings us to our total expenditures, 2.24, about the same as our total revenue. So we're going to end up with a budget that's pretty neutral. So that if after the budget revision that y'all just made, we're starting out with a fund balance of $1.8 million, and we're going to end next year with about the same amount of money. Unless we decide to do next year, unless we decide again to add some extensions to it, then that 1.8, you know, may drop down to 1.5 if we decide to, you know, do a revision and put some more extension money in there. Oh, there's no action to take on this. I just wanted to get it in your hands and let you be looking at it. That brings us up to the general manager's report. 4th of July show's coming up on us. It's on a Tuesday this year, so you know, it's a little bit different. We're doing exactly the same as far as what we're doing. I think there'll just be less people in the park during the day. But, you know, when we open the gates for everybody to come in free at 7 o'clock, then, you know, we'll fill up and we'll probably have the same crowd we always have. Our timeline's on there if you want to see what's going on, but we'll do the same thing. Matter of fact, before you get out of here, I'll give y'all some of those passes, or I'll get them to you a week or two before the show, whatever y'all would prefer. But we'll do the same thing here that we do every year if y'all want to come out and set up here in the parking lot.
That's good.
But it's good, should be another good show this year.
Man, I'm glad to see we're getting that Mike Daniels band.
Mike Daniels band, yeah, come back.
Man, that's going to draw. Yeah.
Also, in the past, TCDRS has asked you guys to vote on our retirement plan rate, but they stopped doing that last year, so I'm just showing it to you as a report. Our employee contribution rate for this year is 11.29%. It's down a little bit from last year. Seems like there's a chart in there showing what it's been over the years. In 14, 15, it was 12.55%, dropped down, after Larry retired, dropped down to 12.32%, then it went to 11.9%, and now it's at 11.29%. It's trending downward as some of the retirees leave here. Something that y'all had asked about, if you'll look at page 3 of that report, down kind of in the middle of the page where it says funded ratio, y'all had asked how our plan was funded. Right now, our plan stands at 98.2% funded.
It's awesome.
It is awesome.
That's better than Dallas.
Especially the firemen and police.
Right.
Oh, man.
And that's also on page, at the bottom of page 1 on that report, it tells you the dollar amount that we're not funded. We're only unfunded by $18,000 in our retirement plan. So if everybody, you know, retired as of today, you know, we'd only owe $18,000 to get it fully funded.
It's going to be a hefty treated employee.
It really does. I mean, that's what it helps get them, but more important than that, it keeps them here. The longer they stay, the more they realize what a benefit it is. Thank you. Then we got the extensions list. If you look at the middle of that extensions list, middle page down there where you see the subtotal, you can kind of see where we're at. That page looks like this. You can see where we're at. We're fixing to go to, we're going to do this little Brazos County Road 316. It's only 1,000 feet long. Then we're going to the Apostle Pros, and then we're going to go for re-review. I think there's another one we've got to squeeze in there somewhere.
Now, there's two roads in Ridgeview. I didn't know.
No.
When you go in, that one road turns off.
Is Kirk Estates in Ridgeview? Isn't it?
No. Kirk Estates is before you get to Ridgeview.
Is that already got water?
Most of it. We ran a water line. That very first phase we did, we
helped make the circle.
Yeah, we looped around through Kirk Estates and Hugh Smith's place to get over to the south side of the city.
When people complain that we haven't run enough extensions, we've run $4.8 million worth of extensions.
I don't either.
I would argue we've done better than I thought we could.
And I got friends in Ridgeview that are wondering, can you know?
Yeah.
Frank Motes has been talking with you.
But
4.8 is pretty good. That's 6 years time.
That's 6.5 years, and it's 36.7 miles that we've run
of
extensions.
36 miles.
You know,
it's amazing that we've gotten that much.
I have nothing but compliments.
Yeah.
Look like somebody would be dropping. I'm sure the Rick is.
Well, you know, when we first started running extensions, we didn't have a lot of people signing on, so there wasn't that many people that complained about us not getting to them. But now that their neighbors and their friends are on, we get a lot of people saying, man, when are you going to come out and make it out to my place?
People just couldn't imagine that you could have this good of water, this good of service for this price. I think it just...
Oh, I think that's right.
But proof's in the pudding.
Next page is our statement of accounts. You see where we're at in the general fund. Right now we're sitting at almost $2.4 million. Interest in sinking debt service, we're at 1.2. That gets paid out in September, so that'll be down close to zero after September. That's our bond payment. Then the capital maintenance trust down at the bottom, we're at $6.879 million. That $6.879, that's after we took $120 out at our last meeting to pay for the compressors, the new compressors we're putting in down at the plant.
Did you get them in?
Not entirely. We've got them all, everything's down there. We're waiting on one last piece. The dryer that goes on them is being manufactured. It'll be here in the next couple of weeks. So I think by the middle of July, we'll be completed up. Then we got our water usage report. You can see we sold 17 million gallons last month.
That's up a little bit over last year.
It was a little bit up a little bit.
How are we meeting up with what the original, way back when we were talking about how to use the water, how much?
I'm not sure. I think we're less than what they had projected, but that's a good question. I'll go back and look.
They're saying we had 25 years of water here
I'll try to do your report next meeting and compare that to what our initial projections were.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. Then the last report that we've got is the park report. Like Larry said, I mean, you can see how big a jump we had from April to May. April we brought in $5,000. May we brought in $9,400, and we'll probably double that this month. I mean, don't really mind spending money in the park anymore, because that park just almost pays for itself, and that's unheard of for as far as city parks, municipal parks go. But not quite paying for itself, but it comes close.
Looks like you've had a lot of increase in walkers.
Yeah, we do. We have.
One other question. We filled the lake. What is down? Okay, one time we were talking about maybe needing to put in additional pumps.
You know,
as we've seen the experience is.
We talked about that. Right now, I think extensions are probably a higher priority than another pump.
Oh, definitely. No, I was thinking the idea, how many days or how many hours did it take us to fill the lake? And I don't know how far we were down.
We were down about almost a foot.
Okay.
And JD, what did we run? We started pumping Tuesday. We pumped Tuesday through Friday evening, and we were shutting it off at night. We were shutting that off in the peak time of the afternoons. We shut off so that we won't trigger an escalator in the electric rates.
Yeah.
So I think we shut off Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday we let it run all day. We brought it up about 8 inches in 4 days. And that wasn't even running 24 hours. So
And you were just running one pump?
No, we were running two. When we were running, we were running two pumps.
But the only thing, if we were ever way down due to drought, that we still could. Because when the river comes down, I mean, it runs several days.
We
can pump.
I'd like to have another pump. I think two pumps is adequate, but you'd be surprised how often one of them's down or something wrong with one of them. So that's the only thing that worries me is one of them being down and not having the ability to run two. There's not a, whenever the river's at the point where we like to run it, we really don't like running it whenever it's muddy. But after it gets down and it's cleared up, usually two pumps is about all we can run. I don't think we could have ran more than two last week when we were pumping if we'd had them. But that is something that we're still talking about. We'll do it eventually.
That's a way expensive pump.
If we ever get a really good year, if we ever get another really good year on that plant, if that value bumps back up to $2.5 or $3 billion, we leave our rate the same, we'll get a good hit. And we might be able to take on some, you know, another project like that. We'll spend $100,000 on a pump. I think that year is going to come here in maybe two or three years where we have a couple more good years out of that plant, where we can do some more capital improvements.
Has the zebra mussel situation started up since we've altered our policy?
I think we've really lowered our risk. Yeah, it's working. We're not getting any complaints from, too many complaints from voters anymore. It's working pretty good, and I think we're at low risk. If we get zebra mussels right now, it'll be because somebody intentionally brought them in here.
Or cranes, or...
Yeah, or cranes, we may just get them naturally, but I don't think we're going to, the type of boats that we're getting in here, we're not going to get them from them.
Well, do you think the problem is minimal at this point, anyway?
I think so. That's all I've got.
I make a motion, we adjourn.
Second. All right, we got a motion, second to adjourn. All in favor, aye?
Aye.
Everybody look.
I see some walkers over there.
We